G'day, Sean.
Morning, man. How are we?
How are you, mate? What time is it? You're up nice and early again for us. We appreciate it.
And, you know, mate, I'm a sprightly type. 6:30 over here. I had a quiet one last night. Actually, called the Japan South Africa game, which saw the host nation out the back door. But it was guys, it was a massive weekend up here. There was some awesome footy played. New Zealand now strong favourites to make it three in a row.
What about that game last night, that South Africa Japan game? I mean, I know they were beaten. The scoreline probably doesn't reflect though how well the Japanese played those first three quarters of the match.
Yeah, 5-3 at half time it was, and they were in it. They were in it to their eyeballs, guys. I can't. It's hard to get across how amazing the atmosphere was. They were going absolutely berserk from the from the get-go. It's such an interesting culture. They were lining up to get into the ground 6 hours before kickoff. It's been an incredible World Cup. It's been so good. So in some ways it was sad to see them go out the back door, but South Africa move ahead. They take on Wales this coming weekend, and the other one's juicy. It's a spicy little first up semi with the All Blacks now squaring off against England after England pounded the Wallabies.
It has been, I know you were saying then, touching on Japan. I was watching that game last night, Stu, and I remember they won a scrum penalty, the Japanese, and the place erupted like they just, it was unbelievable.
It was like they won. Wasn't it like they'd won the World Cup, Dave?
Yeah.
They were going absolutely crazy. So, hopefully it's made such an impact here that the code goes to another level. Do you know what? Japan are now ranked higher than the Wallabies, than France, than Argentina, than Scotland.
I read that stat last night.
They're blowing this whole World Cup and the world order open, basically, with what they've done over here.
I read that stat last night. Now, I have to ask you about the Michael Checker, the Australians. Look, they weren't great. They weren't great against England, and as you said, they got blown off the park. But what's the wash up?
To many of us, that wasn't a surprise. The way that game unfolded was exactly how so many of us thought it would, because they've made it clear for a long time now that that's how they were going to play, and it was very obvious early on that you would not be able to win a World Cup with that game plan, being to throw it around wherever you want, loosey-goosey, going really laissez-faire with it. And it was clear that that was not the way that you were going to make the big dance. And England on the other side were happy to play, you know, territory and that sort of thing. We saw that with South Africa last night. They were happy to kick it downfield and then aim up and belt guys in defence. So for many of us, it wasn't a surprise. It wasn't a surprise that Checker decided to bail out either, because he said at the start of the year, like going back to February, that win or lose, that this would pretty much be the end of his time at the end of the World Cup. So not too many surprises. I guess the big thing now is who goes in to try and turn it all around, and it needs to be there's some good cattle to work with, but someone who kind of gets what it takes to win Test rugby a little more.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about, because a few of our listeners this morning had sort of said, well, it doesn't matter who's in there, there's just not the cattle there at the moment compared to what we're seeing, you know, with Springboks, with English, etc. Is it going to be you're there, you're living and breathing it in Australian rugby. Is it something that will just change straight away, or is it going to be another long process and we're not going to see, I guess, the fruits until, you know, a couple of years' time?
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think we even saw across this World Cup that there were some individual performances that made me think that if you can get someone to gel them and deliver them a game plan that is quite strict and rigid, then there's some real scope there to make it work. And whoever comes in is getting in a really good time, because, I mean, obviously the only way is up from here, being bounced out the quarters for the first time since 95. So I think they've got the players, whoever goes in and takes that head role, to make it work.
I like it.
Yeah, I agree. I think if they can turn it around quickly, mate, people will jump on. People will jump on board.
What about that, Sean? About half an hour ago, he goes, "Oh yeah, no, I agree. They just don't have the cattle." And now you've just come on and said, "Oh, they've got the cattle," and he's, "Yeah, no, I agree."
No, I'm agreeing they can turn it around quickly. I don't.
Sure, they can, and Davey, they can. They can spin around. It's just going to take someone who can sort of. What's the other way? How else can I put this? I think one of the other things that they need to realise now as well, the Wallabies, is because they came into this World Cup, it's been a siege mentality the whole way through from this squad, from the broader squad. That's been the preeminent way they've been taking it on and dealing with the press and that kind of thing. The reality of it is, I mean, you guys included, you guys sort of dip in and out of your support of rugby like many do now in Australia. The reality is, a lot of people want them to go really well. So when they can start to re-embrace the Aussie sporting public wanting to go well and then to ride that rather than taking it the other way where it's us v them, that might make a big marker. That might be the first step they need to take to start winning people over again and then getting the results on the park as well.
Well, you make a point. That's what I'm trying to get at. That I think it's results on the park. And we've too long... You hear this. We want to play attacking rugby. We want to play running rugby. You know what?
Oh, who cares?
We want to win, mate.
I don't care.
We just want to win, mate. That's all we care about.
100%.
If it means you've got to kick 750 times, we'll kick 750 times. You don't have to attack from your own goal line. That's why I think they can turn around. It's an easy mentality thing, I think.
150%. That we saw that last night. So South Africa in the first half, try to get loose and go the same way that Japan do. Japan are happy to run it forever, but the thing is, they've got the fitness and they've got the skill set to do it. South Africa tried to match them early on. They were like, you know what, this isn't actually working. This isn't how you're going to win knockout rugby. We'll go to what we know. We'll kick, we'll defend hard, and we'll win. And you know what, we don't care. We'll get the results at the back end of the game. And guess what? We're playing in the World Cup semi-final, so
absolutely,
if they can just get back to winning games, that's all anyone cares about anymore.
All right, so let's have a look. We've got England, New Zealand Saturday at 7 o'clock. How good's the time zone been for watching this here in Aussie?
You guys must be loving it over there. At one stage, it was only about 1 hour difference. It was like a dream. And now that there's no other sport on, it's perfect. So yeah, so New Zealand, England.
Kiwis 140, mate.
They've been tipped England pre-tournament to win the whole thing, so they're going to do it tough.
Yep.
My gosh, New Zealand were just extraordinary the other night, and then Wales, South Africa, that'll be a good one.
$3, so we've got New Zealand 140 with the tab, England $3. The start there though is a 6.5 start to the Poms, and then the Welsh, who didn't really excite. Saw you last night when you watched them. They're 335 outsiders against the Springboks, who are 133, and the start there is a 7.5 start to the Welsh.
Yeah, and I think conditions will have a huge impact as well on how those games play out the weekend. So we move from Tokyo down to Yokohama. No benefit, guys, of an indoor stadium this weekend, so conditions may play a part. I think England would be happier if we get a bit of rain tumbling down, because we saw that the other night with New Zealand and Ireland. I think Ireland were hoping the same as well. It was dry, it was hard and fast, and the All Blacks just opened up. So that might level things out a little bit, but England will keep you in the hunt for a long, long way, I'd suggest, against the All Blacks.
All right. Mate, you've got 5 days off now. What are you doing?
You know exactly what I'm doing.
Just refreshments, sounds.
I'm walking the street sightseeing. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to the Tokyo Tower, and I might have some green tea for the rest of the week.
I'll give you a tip. Have you been to the markets yet?
Oh, the fish markets here. Yeah. And I did that with Timmy Horan when I was up here doing Super Rugby last year. But I might give that another whirl. That's good fun down there.
Very good fun. It's unbelievable.
Sounds like it's been a good trip. I know the old Wallabies lost, but yeah, you've made the most of it.
Yeah, sure, that's the only way to do it.
Good on you, Sean, mate. You enjoy yourself over there. Stay safe. We'll talk to you again next week after the semi-finals. There we go, Sean.
Have you been to the fish markets in Tokyo?
No, I've never been to Japan.
Mate, it's unbelievable. So you get there at like, you get 3:30, 4 in the morning, and they're buying tuna for like $1 million. So these massive big tuna come in. It's quite, apparently to to be able to buy them, it's, you know, all traditional and passed down.
Did you
from
buy
family.
Them?
Turn it up. And yeah,
$1 million for a tuna.
$1 million for these fish, which then get cut up and served that day all around the country.
$1 million.
Right, yeah. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
I wish I was a tuna in Japan.